Okay, evening everybody. I'll make it 11:30, we'll make a start if that's okay. Welcome to the audit committee meeting on the 14th of March 2024. Councillor Hudson, can you hear us okay up on the screen?
I can't hear you, unfortunately.
I think we're just unmuting ourselves, how about that?
Yes, great. Thank you for letting me come on Zoom, and I've had some education increase yesterday. It's tiring me out, so it's
No problem at all, will do. Okay, item number one, apologies. Any apologies for absence, please, Dan?
We've had apologies from Councillor Peters.
Thank you very much. Item two, declarations of interest. Any councillors have any declarations of interest to declare on the item under discussion at tonight's meeting? No? Okay, that's great. Item three, urgent business brought forward under Rule 12. I'm not aware of any urgent business for consideration tonight. Thanks, Dan. Item four, questions from the public. We haven't received any questions from members of the public. Item five, questions from members of the committee. No questions from members of the committee. Item six, minutes of the previous meeting on 8th of February 2024. Everybody seen the minutes? Okay, I propose the approval of the public minutes from the previous meeting. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Sankey, yeah, is that okay, Dan, to second if... Should we go, Councillor, could be just in case. Yeah. Thank you, Councillor Sankey. Thank you, Councillor Huckabee. Move to a vote. All those in favour? Okay, any against? Any abstentions? Thank you. Sorry, I should have said Councillor Allen's here tonight to substitute for Councillor Peters. Apologies, Councillor Allen.
Yeah, I'm only abstaining in there, Eric. It's not allowed to vote.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Councillor Hudson. Okay, item seven. So we had a couple of actions from internal audit that we thought would be good to get some clarification on at this meeting. The first is around the ledger contract. So Mark has kindly come along to talk through that. Just to give some background to this, I think the reason this piqued our interest was the original implementation date was 2022. But I think we did take a lot of assurance from the fact that it was an agreed contract that we could enforce if we needed to. And I know there are some added detail in the internal audit report about this action as well tonight. But if you're able to give us some more detail and any assurance, that would be appreciated.
Yes, happy to, Chair. The latest is that the contract is due to be signed imminently. I have got a letter from Everyone Active this afternoon, actually, saying that this letter, please accept this letter as confirmation that the leisure operating contract is agreed in the form attached to this letter, which was the contract. And the leisure operating contract is awaiting signature by our managing director, David Bibby, and will be sent to us once execution has taken place. There's a couple of other things, in terms of letting committee know about how these things work or have worked in the past. First of all, it's not unusual for leisure contracts to take a long time, certainly beyond the start date of the contract. And our legal advice was always that if the contractor is operating the contract, then in effect it becomes binding. That's the first thing. And I guess as the members around the table will recall, just after 1 year into the contract, we had COVID, I think it's in the document in the internal audit papers that there have been subsequent interim agreements signed by the previous leader, cabinet member, or from that period to now, actually. But as I've said, that contract is going to be signed off imminently. So happy to take any questions if there are any other follow-up questions.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mark. Really helpful. Any follow-up questions from colleagues? No? Okay. Great. Thank you for that. Really helpful to get that reassurance. Mark, I know you've somehow got things you prefer to do other than being here, so you're going to pop off?
I'll wait for my colleague.
Okay. No worries. Thank you, Mark. So in that case, I know to move over to item 8. That's the second outstanding action we picked up at the last meeting, and that's around commercial property management. John is Head of Legal and Regulatory Services and Monitoring Officer, is here to provide an update. John, I know you gave us an update on this, I think you might have been November, October last year, and it's just really a continuation of that from the committee. Further update.
Thank you very much, Chair. So just to confirm now, councillors, we have the outstanding electrical certificate for this particular property, and therefore we're at an end with this one. It's done. Thank you very much.
Short and sweet. Any questions from colleagues?
at the end of the tank, the one that's the electrical safety one.
Yeah.
So we're just carrying on.
What I was trying to say, Councillor, thank you, is that the outstanding electrical certificate was for Crossley House. We've now got that certificate. There was only one certificate that we were waiting on. We have that. Done. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councillor Sankey. Everybody else happy? Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks, Greg. Okay, move on to item 9, which is the internal audit progress report for 23-24. Hand over to Ruby and Tracy from 360 Assurance to give us an update on that.
Thank you, Chair. I'll take the paper as read, but just point out a couple of things, if I may. There's two final reports that we've issued since the last meeting, and they're both at Significant Assurance, and there's a summary within the paper. The full reports can be made available in full on request if that's wanted. And then in terms of the other reports at the last meeting, we had a few other reports that were at draft stage. Those discussions are still ongoing, so we've had some of the meetings with the various council officers to progress those, and we hope to have those issued as final in the next 2 weeks. I would think those meetings should be finalised by then. In terms of our overall implementation of actions, that's currently sitting as 58% in terms of the figures that are on the system. Overall, it has dropped a little from the last meeting, but that's because some of the actions that weren't previously due at the last meeting have now fallen due because there are actions that are due within the March timescales. So, and within the back of the report, you can see the detail of the other progress with the other actions there. So. The only other area I did want to just draw your attention to is there are new internal audit standards that will be coming into effect from January 2025, so just to give you assurance that we are monitoring and reviewing all of our practices to ensure that we do comply with the new standards as they come into effect. And I'll pause there in case there's any questions on the content of the progress report.
Are they significant, the new standards? Will they be a big change to your practice?
We're looking at them at the moment. I think there are some changes in there.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of it will still be quite similar to the core areas, but we are going through at the moment and assessing it.
So, okay.
Yeah, don't expect it to be significant changes.
Okay, thank you. Colleagues, Councillor Sankey.
Just a question, or two questions, on the percentage on
the action gain.
Slightly concerned because the previous one said it was 61%, and actually in September you were forecasting 75%. Right? So you've actually slipping. So your reference in September was over 75% to be implemented by the 31st of March in your report. And clearly, the last report said 61, which is moving towards it, and gone down. So I don't. Just, that doesn't give me that sort of warm, fuzzy feeling, because at the moment, all it just seems is notice expected to be EY, etc. But all, from an audit function, this is performance wise going down, and we've actually.
Increase
our
auditing, so
I'm sure
you've
asked.
Of course.
Okay,
Tracy.
The 75% isn't something that we forecast. The 75%, if you look back at our report, is what we would expect us by the end of the year. We would expect to see at least 75% or more in order to get a significant assurance element for that element of our head of internal audit for you. So we haven't been forecasting 75%. That's what we measure against at the year end.
So,
at the moment, because it's showing below the 75%, yeah. When we get to the end of the year, if it's below 75%, for that proportion of the head of internal audit opinion that relates to the action tracking, that would be indicating moderate assurance, not significant.
So at the end of the year, we'll receive a head of internal audit opinion from our colleagues at 360. And to get a significant head of internal audit assurance, I think what Tracy's setting out is they would expect 75% of actions that I've identified to be implemented by the 31st of March. We're not at that level at the moment, so when we get that head of internal audit opinion, it will be showing moderate assurance rather than significant, which...
Just for the element in terms of the action tracking, our head of internal audit opinion is broken down, so we will take into account the action tracking position, the overall outturn of the work that we've undertaken and the level of assurances that we've given throughout the planned work throughout the year. That both of those will be taken into account.
It's going to be not significant for... If it's not achieved in the next 2 weeks, it's going to be not significant.
Just for clarification as well, in terms of where you have been sitting as a council in your performance, in September you were at 46%.
Yeah.
And then it's gone to 67 in November, and it has dropped a little bit to 61 February, and then 58. Largely, though, I think it's because there's a lot of actions. When you look at the beginning of the first report that we brought in September, it was out to a number of 13 actions at that point, whereas we've now got... Yeah, so it has...
I was just reading what the percentage was, what the expectation... I read that the expectation was 75%.
Yeah.
And that I saw that we were going down from that month as a percentage. It didn't give me that sort of warning.
Okay.
Lloyd?
Just to follow up on that as well, I suppose the conversation that Ruby and Tracy and I had around this, because as a committee, you're obviously interested in controls, risks, governance, what that head of internal audit opinion is going to be telling you. So we had Mark and John come along earlier, and they were historic outstanding audit actions that we talked about at the last committee. And I think in terms of... supporting internal audit colleagues with progressing those actions. We've talked about future reports at the end, rather than asking members to raise any questions, also asking you to consider if you want to invite any other heads of service in to talk through their outstanding actions, like Mark and John have done tonight.
And I was going to next thing I was going to pick up on. The original date of December, non-provided, and there seems to be, in some of the audit things, there seems to be a common theme to be brought that, in terms of the IT, which will presumably get the later, there is a non-provided, you're not getting the answers. This is not a criticism of audit, this is undertaking the audit role, you're not getting the information from the council. Am I?
No, that's correct, and I think that's where I'm going with the conversation, just that as a committee, to support internal audit with pushing the implementation of those actions, if there are things like that, like the two homelessness items that you wanted Tom to come along to the next committee to give you an update on, I think that would support internal audit chasing for those actions to be implemented.
Yeah, I'd be on my list as well to do that. If committee agree, can we ask Tom to come along to the next meeting? On those two points, I was going to ask, so we've got the homelessness... There's a none provided for implementation date. And then for stronger towns, there's none identified. Are those two variations of the same term, or are they subtly different? Same term. That's fine. I didn't know if non provided meant you were waiting for us, non identified meant that you'd not identify me. That's fine. I didn't know if they meant slightly different things, that's all. Yeah.
So if it's a strong tax one as well, is it the same position?
In terms of.
No, nobody's giving you the information, and shouldn't you ask?
The discussions that we've been having in the last couple of weeks with some of the draft reports that we've been progressing, the Stronger Towns follow-up is part of that. So these actions, we have been having discussions around there. So there is some movement, it's just the system itself isn't updated, and at the time we've done this paper, we haven't had that meeting. So since the paper's been produced, we have met and had some further information, so that will be going in.
Okay, that's good. The implementation date
Okay, so next meeting we'll have that to feed in your meeting, which is great. And if we also invite Tom to come along, UK Towers in Action, Dan, to invite Tom. Thank you.
Could I just also add, we did discuss that we would put a paper together with all of the actions for discussion as part of the corporate management team as well in April. So we will be taking something through the corporate management team. So
okay, that's good to know.
So the discussion to try and stimulate more discussion around that.
Sorry, I think I definitely agree with what Tracy just said, and I think one of the other items that we wanted to discuss with committee this evening that Ruby and Tracy and I talked about was limited assurance audit reports and whether or not it would be useful for committee to see those in full. It might be that we need a private session at the end of the meeting, but it's normal practice in other authorities that those limited assurance reports come to audit committee in full again, so you've got the opportunity to scrutinise them, and if there are further actions or support that you want to put in place, you've got the opportunity to do that in that private part of the meeting as well. So we wanted to raise that as a consideration as well.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely support that, if colleagues agree. Yeah, that's a yes from the room. Yeah. Okay, any more questions on that part of internal audit?
I'm looking at Appendix A, grant certifications. Now, forgive me, I can understand what information do you ask when you get a biodiversity net gain grant certification, or what information is given? I don't quite understand what that's about. I'm sorry, that's a bit too stupid question, is it?
Yep, the various grant certifications coming in from the central government department, so the grant determination letter might come in from DEFRA, BASE, whoever, but in that grant determination letter it sets out what the funds are to be used for,
right,
and what internal audit certification is required. So depending on the grant, it will be an element if the council has purchased goods and services, an element of staffing costs, having to administer the grant, etc. So it depends on the grant itself as to what we would need to see. So it's normally we get the grant certification letter, we will have that conversation with the head of service or the operational lead, determine what information we need, and we have that information, and then we will review that, go through any queries with that relevant officer, and then we complete our certification.
Right, okay. I mean, forgive me, I can understand, again, I'm sorry to be so slow at this, I can understand what disabled facilities grant, energy bill support scheme and alternative fuel payments. Specifically, what is the biodiversity net gain grant?
For last year, the grant determination letter came through really late to all councils,
right,
so they didn't really get a chance to get going with it, so... I've asked for a copy of this year's letter because this is another certification for biodiversity due at the end of March.
Right.
And councils were allowed to carry over a significant proportion of their funding from last year into this financial year.
Right.
So in terms of guidance, until I see the grant determination letter, I can't really tell you what was going to be the purpose. It depends if there were any revisions to that, and I haven't had sight of those letters yet to be able to give you a...
Okay, so if I ask after March, you might be able to tell me a bit more about that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Ruby. Any more questions on that part of the report? Yes, no? Okay. Great, thank you very much. Next, we'll move on to item 10, so on to external audit progress report. Welcome to invite Laura Hinsley. Laura's first meeting with Bethany last month, Laura's first time with us. From AZETS, provide an update to the committee.
Thanks, Chair. And just to be clear, is this item 11? I didn't know whether there was an update on item 10 from your outgoing external auditors.
Ten on my agenda.
So, in terms of ten on the agenda. So, EY aren't here this evening in terms of an update for 21-22 and 22-23 because it's the same position as the one they talked to the committee about in February. We're still waiting for assurances from Ernst & Young on the pension fund audit. I think the reason we've added it to the agenda this evening is just to make you aware that we have circulated two things in relation to external audit for those years. One was our response to the government's consultation on delays in local audits, so we've shared our final response with the committee. The other thing we've shared with the committee as well is our letter from the council to EY in terms of those delays with the assurances around the pension fund and our expectation that they've got a plan in place by the end of March that they can share with us to give us those assurances.
Thank you. I'm sorry, there's a slight difference between my chairman's agenda and the main agenda. So sorry, that's missing from the chair's agenda. If I could just take a couple of points on that and I'll hand over to you, Councillor Sankey, if that's okay. So we need 10, so the external audit report for 21-22, 22-23. A couple of things I wanted to say on that. One's a letter, which Lord has just covered off. So you've seen that I've asked for three things from EY. One is to give us an update by the end of the month on assurances for the 21-22 accounts. The second is to meet with us in April. That's myself, Lloyd, Andy O'Brien and Mick Fitzpatrick to talk through their plan or the lack thereof if we don't get one. And then in May, if we're not satisfied with their assurances, then we'd like them to come to committee whenever the next meeting will be, when the diary is confirmed. That letter, I think, was sent round to councillors. Happy to take any questions on that and the plan itself. The second thing I wanted to cover off under item 10 is delegation to sign off accounts. So the previous committee, Councillor Hudson, I think you were chair at the time, delegated the power to sign off 21-22 to the chair. I was always previously of the opinion that I'd like it to come back to statement of accounts because I think that's good governance. What made me change my mind for 21-22 is the backstop. So the DLUHC backstop date is currently penciled at the 30th of September. So every council needs to have 21-22, 22-23 done by at the minute 30th of September, unless the consultation comes through differently. I'm conscious we've got two steps to get through before then. Two accounts, two statements of accounts. So I've changed my mind personally, and I think we should keep the delegation to the chair to start off 21-22. Hope is obviously to take this role pretty seriously, and I'll be asking James and Lloyd lots of questions when it comes to that part. If colleagues have got strong feelings that it should come back to statements of accounts, happy to have that conversation to take a vote on it tonight. Otherwise, when 21-22 comes through, I'll sign them off and we've got one out of the way. So I'm happy to take questions on either of those two sections, the letter to EY about Staffordshire Pension Fund and then about delegation of authority.
Certainly, I support your approach to delegation sign-offs. That's practical and sensible. I just have this... I know there's a backstop in September, which is probably our only saving grace, if I'm being blunt. But I don't... You know, it's been like Groundhog Day here. Every meeting since September, we get... Before the next meeting, we hope to be able to sign them off. I mean, if you listen to it, you will not know any different which meeting you're on. It's the same. Why is this one going to be any different? I have seen your letter, and it's as strong as you can get without telling them to slap you. And I get into trouble. But you can't be any stronger than what you are. I think it's a good letter going out. But why do we actually believe they're going to do it this time when they haven't done it any other time?
I think that's the difficulty. And the problem we have, obviously, where EY are concerned, is we don't have a contractual relationship with them, so we can request them to do these things, we can't compel them to do these things. I know GT escalated to the national lead at EY. I don't know if they've had a response.
We had a conversation with GT about that yesterday, so no, they've not had a response from the national lead at EY. They have got a follow-up meeting with the relevant partner at EY next week, and they're hoping that it will be a more positive response this time. In addition to that, we've had a response to the letter that went out, so we copied that to the PSAA as well, and we've had a response from the chief executive of the PSAA, who is going to follow it up with EY directly themselves as well. They are ultimately the contracting body for EY for the pension fund audit.
Yeah, thank you, Lloyd. So I share all of your frustrations, Councillor Sankey, but I think this is the last card we have to play as a council, I think, is that letter to EY. Thanks. Councillor Huckabee. Did anyone want to take that one?
Both taxpayers and their local elected representatives. It provides authorities with accurate and reliable information with which to plan and manage their services finances effectively. That was 26/1/2023, National Audit Office. So we're in a position where we'll probably have three outstanding audits to do on three separate years. I guess the hard question to answer is, how does the council set a balanced budget when the previous year's accounts haven't been completed, signed off, when, as far as I can understand it, if there are issues in that previous year, they spill over into this new year? Now, yes, Steve is responsible for his own years that he's served and what have you, so last year is a newbie for me in that sense. If you don't know the state of the accounts from the previous year, what assurances have I that was elected in on May the 5th of last year that the budgets that have been set have a solid foundation from the previous year? And I mean, I'm an engineer, and I used to be an engineer, worked with formulas and what have you, and if you get the nitty gritty wrong, the old bloody lot comes down on you. So if you could explain that to me.
Hopefully it's something we can give you a large amount of assurance in relation to. So for 21-22, the audit has in the main been completed. The only thing that is outstanding is the finalisation of the audit around the pension fund. So our auditors, Grant Thornton, are awaiting assurances from the auditors of the pension fund, Ernst & Young, about the audit that they are undertaking of the pension fund. So the only thing that is outstanding is the finalisation of that process. If there is something that comes out of that that says assets or liabilities are significantly under or overvalued, in essence, that's a long-term asset or liability. It isn't something we have to pay straight away. So it's a balance sheet transaction. It changes the position on our balance sheet at that point in time. It doesn't change our day-to-day finances. It wouldn't have an impact on our underlying reserves that the council has available to use. It is an accounting adjustment around that long-term asset or liability. So it won't have an immediate impact on our budget, our reserves. And there may be an impact in terms of our contribution to the pension fund at the next revaluation, but again, that won't be an immediate impact. For 22-23, the position is pretty similar. 99% of the work has been completed, and there are no, you'll have seen at the last audit committee, we had the interim audit findings report for that year. There were a couple of recommendations around improving some of the disclosures in the accounts, but there's nothing that's been found that's significant, that's material in terms of the financial position in the account, other than same position with the pension fund. Once the pension fund audit has been completed and we've got the assurances for that, there may be some changes to the assets or liabilities within our pension fund notes in the accounts, but it wouldn't be an immediate financial impact on the council.
Are we saying then that of these previous accounts, that everything that's not dotted and the T's crossed are ring-fenced and isolated from the main body of the audit, so that the main body of the audit is effectively signed off.
So the pension fund issue is outstanding, but that in effect is self-contained. It would impact on a few parts of the accounts. It wouldn't have an impact on the revenue position of the council. So yes, in essence, that it would be the answer.
Right. So as far as the ability of Joshua, who lives in Bramston, who elected me to come and represent his interests, he can visit during the period that the 30 days allowance is there. He can view the previous accounts and, well, up to date, really.
All of our accounts are online anyway, so people can view them at any point. For 21, 22 and 22, 23, they are the draft statement of accounts, so pre-audit. Once the audit has been finalised, we will make final changes to the accounts if we need to. So if we get the assurances from the pension fund through EY and our assets are understated and we need to restate them in our accounts, we would change the accounts at that point in time, and we would then publish finalised accounts, post-audit accounts. So the previous year's accounts are always available online for people to view, and the final accounts post-audit, once we've updated them, will be available online for people to view as well.
Yeah, okay. As part of this question, I read recently the select committee on this particular issue of the backloggers, and they were pushing for outdated audits to have a line placed underneath them to allow councils to get on with making sure that the current ones added up. I mean, this was more in line for getting rid of the backlog, but being a new councillor, I'm interested in where the responsibility lies with regard to any errors that have been made in those previous ones, because I know you give assurances, but until they're signed off, we don't know anything, because that's why the audit exists independently. It doesn't depend on you assuring the auditor that everything's okay, and he goes, well, okay, then that's good enough for me. He checks it, or she checks it. So if there are errors in these previous audits, accounts that need to be audited completely, where does the responsibility actually lie? With the administration that put them together, the executive of those days, or does it all come through to the executive currently in office?
It'd be with the council as a corporate body, wouldn't it? So it'd be the council as an institution rather than an administration. I got that right.
In terms of the backstop that you've referred to as well, Councillor Huckabee, so that was, as I mentioned earlier, we've circulated our response to the government's consultation on local government, local audit delays, and that was one of the questions. So they proposed, as the Chair said, a backstop date of the 30th of September for closing all audit of accounts up to 22-23. And you'll see from the response that we shared, we generally supported that approach because it does close off those years. We can focus on the current year. We're not running more than one year's set of accounts at a point in time with the resources that we've got and the resources of our auditors as well. But we did caveat that in our response in terms of if the delay is due to a regional or national issue like the pension fund, because that's affecting all councils across Staffordshire, and it'll be the same with pension funds across the country, we should draw a line under it, albeit there might need to be a caveat around that we agree with our auditors to say what was outstanding at that point in time. However, if it's a local issue, so if we were an authority like some of those across the country who've invested heavily, chosen to invest heavily in assets to try and generate a return, which we're not, and there are issues associated with that, we'd expect those to continue to be reviewed and investigated rather than drawing a line under it at the 30th of September. But we're not one of those councils.
I just point out that this is where accountancy, the interface with politics comes, because no matter what happens to the numbers, if they add up correctly, they add up correctly. The impression given to political situations is slightly different. It's more of a time, you know, when the crap hits the fan sort of thing. So, okay.
And I think in the back, others have got a much tougher job than us. I think there were some 16, 17 accounts that are out there for some local authorities. So there's Laura.
I just wanted to come in there as well, just to give assurance. If it is, whilst I can't talk on behalf of your outgoing auditors, so Grant Thornton, if the lack of assurance is contained purely to the pension fund and the pension figures, I would expect that they are able to issue an opinion which makes that very clear. That then allows us as incoming auditors to get the assurance we need over the opening balances to then hopefully move forward without any kind of implications of that, other than a reference to it, should that happen. But I know everybody's pushing for the assurances that we need.
Okay, thanks, Laura. That's really helpful. So that transition should be straightforward. Great, thank you. Okay, now to item 11. I'll move back over to the main agenda. So, external audit progress report for 23-24 from Laura Azzett.
Thanks, Chair. And just by way of introduction, I know you met with my colleague Bethany last time, but I wanted to introduce myself. I'll be the key audit partner, so responsible for signing the financial statements from an audit perspective for the life of the PSAA contract. The report that we've sent today is just to give a progress update on the 23-24 external audit. We have now completed all of our planning work, and we brought the audit plan to a prior committee. We've now also undertaken our interim planning work, our interim testing work, and we had some time on site with the finance team. We undertook a week in February and a week in March. So this report is to set out the progress of that work and to highlight any initial findings that we want to draw to committee's attention. In terms of outstanding items, probably the one in red stands out the most. So it is our responsibility as external audit to obtain an understanding of all of your IT systems, and we use a specialist team internally at Azzett to do that. That means our IT team talking to your IT team and being able to perform a number of tests to assess the controls within the IT function. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to make any progress with undertaking that work. So we are having discussions with the finance team to alleviate that.
Thanks, Laura.
I have to answer the question there if you wanted to write.
Did you want to come in, Lloyd? Because I know we spoke about this earlier in the week.
The word any was most interesting there. That was most concerning.
Yeah.
Not, there's a few bits outstanding. The word any that you use implies no dealings in providing your information.
Yeah, so I think some of this is to do with, and going back to Councillor Huckabee's point as well, the fact that we've got two years of accounts open and one that we're preparing for with our new auditors. We've got a small finance team, and at the same point in the year, that finance team has been focused on the budget setting process. So when these conversations started with Azzett in November, the finance team were just getting ready for moving into Star Chambers, then budget papers, and then into cabinet and council meetings. So the focus, because of the deadline around that and getting a budget agreed, of the team has been on that, alongside some of the queries we've got with the previous year's statement of accounts as well. The person in the team who's able to provide this information has now been freed up. I've had an update from him at 5 o'clock this evening before I joined the meeting. There are, I think, about 11 pieces of information that he's got to pull together to provide to Azzett. He's got 8 of those now to send over. There are 3 other pieces he needs to work with the IT team to finalise. So that information should all be with Azzett within the next few days.
Okay. Thank you, Lloyd. Councillor Sankey, do you want to ask any further questions?
No, anyway.
Is the IT general, it says IT general controls, and you've used the word any, does that mean you've had nothing regarding IT general controls? Because I didn't see just as the finance system.
Yes, so...
Sorry, I can understand why the finance people are busy, quite rightly on that, but this seems to imply IT general IT controls, and your comment was...
Yeah.
You haven't had any things. Mm-hmm. So there is finance, but they're busy. What are the IT people
doing? I'll just clarify on that. When we do our IT general controls work, we are focusing on IT systems that have a material impact on the financial statements.
Right.
So the main one of that is obviously the general ledger and the finance system, but there are other systems that we do look at.
Yeah.
We haven't received any responses to our request. However, as Lloyd said, it sounds as though 8 of those 11 are in progress. So we're still doing our interim work, and we still have time to be able to undertake that work internally before the year ends.
And okay, and also hasn't there been I've got to be careful what I say in public meeting, EDR asking for urgent work on the finance systems. EDRs, I'll check that one out then for sure.
Okay. So as part of the budget there was investment in terms of a move of our finance system. So our finance system is on premises, it's based on a server, and it's still at the moment. The version that we've got at the moment stops being supported, it's end of life. So during 2024-25 we have got to move that system to the same system, but it's in the cloud. So we've got to do that. So yeah, that was included in the budget.
If I could just finish the rest of the report. Whilst that doesn't sound positive from an IT general controls perspective, in terms of the progress that we've made with our payroll testing, our income and expenditure testing, that is very progressed and actually in a very good place compared to where most district councils are, given the backstop. And it was just to extend thanks to the finance team. They have been really supportive in working with a new external auditor whilst they've got 2 ongoing audits. So, yeah, we are grateful for that. And we are anticipating commencing our fieldwork in July with a sign-off before September, obviously notwithstanding the backstop situation with EY.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's really positive. I know Councillor Allen's got a question. Just before, if I could just double back quickly to the... sorry, Councillor Allen. Just back to the 8 out of the 11 that you've got. You've got 3 outstanding. Do you expect those to be quite straightforward to get over to AZET? There's nothing big there that could be a problem with the 3 left over.
They should be quite straightforward. Again, those are ones that we will need to do some work with IT on. So, again, it's back to capacity for them to be able to support us with those items. But, yeah, I, as I said earlier, I would expect them to be completed within the next week and with AZET.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Allen.
Thank you. So there was a scrutiny review into IT and the general service that were provided as members of the IT and the type of suite that's used, and it culminated very close to the election. I think it was January, February 23. There's a number of items, recommendations in there, which when they were discussed at a leader and deputy leader meeting, now called P-Council, I believe, it received quite a bit of pushback, I think it's fair to say, from the IT service itself, because it was the recommendations were talking about moving to a cloud-based system for lots of things, not just finance system. And one of the significant things that members found around the IT service was that whenever there's a problem like the one we just described, the answer is, oh well, the licenses have come to end and it's taking some time and we need a bit more time, and this is just another example of it. And so it's a little bit frustrating to sit here and listen again to a problem ended up in a red progress target now in an external audit review because IT don't seem to have the right systems in place to at least respond to general questions. I think the line that you used was we've asked the questions and haven't had any responses and now, thank you Lloyd, we apparently might be getting somewhere with that. But the last item was just about, we talked about audit how long it's taking statement of accounts to be signed off. Now, I know this is largely down to a different reason, but it doesn't help if questions are being asked by external audit and then answers then aren't being given. So I've got two issues. One is highlighting there's a problem around IT systems generally that the council uses, and perhaps looking at that scrutiny review from early 23 might be useful to solve things going forward. But the second one is a very basic one, which I don't think needs too much thought at all, is if external audit asking questions and not getting responses, that's the significant problem. And I think some of the comments in this report are quite light and conservative in that regard, because they could be a lot more damning. So I'm quite concerned, not on audit all the time, but I'm quite concerned the audit meeting I do turn up to, we find out that a service isn't responding to basic questions from external audit. So there's my two panels for this, Chair. I think it doesn't need any more further explanation.
Thank you. Thanks, Councillor. Are there any lessons we can take from this?
I mean, I suppose the, you know, capacity, whether it's capacity in IT or in finance or other areas of the council, is always an issue. I think one of the things, having joined the council recently myself, that I've looked at is what's the priorities for the finance service over the next 12 to 18 months. We've been interviewing today for a permanent chief accountant, so that's the first step in getting resources in place. And then it's looking at, with the priorities we've got, have we got the right level and mix of resources in the team? Is there a need for things like moving to the cloud or some of the other areas we need to improve for short-term resource to help us deliver those and move on? Because Councillor Allen is quite right that, you know, if we have received an internal audit request, an external audit request, a request from wherever, we should be responding to that. It shouldn't be ending up as our auditors are having to escalate that to the Section 151 officer to intervene. They should get that information. So that, I suppose that's the only thing I could say at the moment. Yes, it shouldn't be the situation as Councillor Allen described. It shouldn't be in place. I've got a plan for how we can address that within finance, but most of it is down to, as I said earlier, capacity issues at the moment.
Yeah. Great, thank you. It sounds like the report Councillor Allen mentioned might be useful as you go through his conversations as well.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you, Lloyd. Councillor Sankey.
Because the audits have been running late, that you put in there in your auditor's report delays from previous periods, the last one there says, brackets, we might be billing you a bit more. Nicely, very nicely put, but effectively say, do we have any idea of how much this delay in the audit is actually going to cost us?
So at this stage, I'm not envisaging any additional audit costs if the assurances are given by EY, given that we will be able to do our work with Grant Thornton to review their opening balances. Should those assurances not come and we be in a position where there is a potential modification to a prior year audit opinion, then that does change the level of work that we would need to do. However, all overruns or all additional fees are subject to approval by both the council and public sector audit appointments, who actually set the audit fees for the council.
Excellent, thank you very much. But, so could we actually, as the 151, actually let us know if we are going to incur any more costs?
Certainly, yeah, I mean, if there are more costs that are going to be incurred, there would be an update in terms of fees that's chargeable anyway, which would come to this committee.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you both. Any more for any more? Councillor Allen.
Just a very minor one. The front cover of the front page says East Ass District Council, not East Ass Borough Council. It would cost a lot of money to rebrand to East Ass District Council.
No, I do apologise for that. We'll have that changed.
Thank you. Okay, great. Thank you very much, Laura. Much appreciated. I know for all of you, it's that time of year for audits, isn't it? So I appreciate you coming to two meetings in the space of a month as well. So can we give us an update? Thank you very much. Okay, final substantive item on the agenda is the accounting policies for 23-24, and they will be presented by Lloyd as 151 officer.
Thank you, Chair. So what we've brought this evening is our proposed accounting policies for the 23-24 financial year. So it's good practice to bring these along to audit committee to give you a chance to review them and note them, which is what the report's asking you to do. I think in terms of summarising them, there are no changes proposed to our accounting policies from previous years. The only thing we've noted in the report is there is a new standard coming into force from the 1st of April 24. So whilst it won't affect our 23-24 statement of accounts, we will need to disclose within those accounts an estimate of the impact. So what we've included, highlighted in yellow in the appendix, is our proposed accounting policy for that new standard, which we will use from next year. But we've included that now to give you an idea of how we will identify the estimated impact in the 23-24 accounts. So,
thank you very much. Councillor, thank you.
Just a minor point on that. I was reading, sadly, about that in the yellow part, and it talks about in the, I think, the leasing part, about that, about rebasing the initial the accounts to recent rise in inflation, the low cost exemption bit to 5,000. So that was a decision we're making as part of. That is a change, presumably, and in terms of decision making, something decides that, so to speak.
So it's in essence, the standard sets out the low cost exemption, but it gives flexibility, and it also notes that low cost exemption was set based in January 16, so there's been significant inflation since then. So what we've tried to do is estimate, with inflation applied to that £5,000, what that would equate to date. And it's just under £10,000. So we are proposing, when we bring this in as an accounting policy next year, that we'd set that low cost threshold at £10,000 in line with the original standard that was set back in 2016, accounting for inflation.
Right. Thank you. So that's basically we just inflated it.
Thank you both. Any more questions on the accounting policies report? Okay, so we're noting those. Brilliant. Okay, last but not least, item 13, date of next meeting. This is TBC at this stage. I believe the corporate diary is in the final stages of being approved, so we should have dates relatively soon, I think.
So, yeah. And then once dates are confirmed, members will get an invite to the meetings for the year.
Great. I think, sorry for running away and I've got this wrong, but I think we're hopefully going to present a draft work plan to that meeting for the committee for the year ahead and work on the training schedule as well to go alongside it.
Sorry, just in terms of that, Chair, so that was captured as the action in the minutes of the last meeting. Dan's done some good work to do an initial draft of that. I've reviewed it now. I've just shared that with James Hopwood, who's the interim deputy 151 as well. I think we've got a good base in terms of all the work that needs to come to the committee over the next municipal year, and we'll be able to share that with yourself to review before it comes to the first committee of the new year.
Great. Thank you very much. In that case, I'll close the meeting. Thanks to everybody, especially to audit partners. Councillors, I'll see you on Monday. Thank you.